Well, ho, 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 everybody. It's Christmas time. And it sounds from the 70s. Fifth annual Christmas episode. And I'm Santa. I'm not really Santa. Real Santa doesn't have a bad back like I do. So here for your entertainment or whatever the hell they do, here's Gary and Rob with the fifth annual Christmas show. Ooh. Hello and welcome to our annual Christmas episode of Sounds from the 70s with Gary and Rob, sometimes known as the Ghost of Christmas Past, when he pretends to haunt his mom on Christmas Eve so he can give her a heart attack that never happens.
Boo!
She's still around. We have to thank Santa for dropping by and doing that little shtick he did.
I thought you thanked him already.
I gave him some booze. Okay. And set him on his
way. We're halfway there. I'll get him some cookies next year.
We'll spot you that next year, Santa.
Good job, Santa. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Merry Christmas, everybody. This is like our third attempt at doing a Christmas show. We're not going to tell you why the other two failed, but it was mechanical problems. And yes. So this is our third attempt at our fifth Christmas episode. Figure that out.
With a brand new mixing board that Santa brought.
Santa brought it, and he left us the bill. Isn't that nice? This is our fifth Christmas episode, and maybe our scariest. Ooh. Oh, no, sorry. Wrong Ooh. Holiday. I mean jolliest.
I get those two confused myself.
After the bill we got for the new mixer, kind of scary. Anyways, it seems, Rob, you'll know this, because this is about you.
I already know it.
This is about you.
Yeah.
It seems like Rob is almost done cooking up the reindeer on the fire for everybody to eat. This year, Rob caught a special reindeer. It seems he had a red nose on him. Or at least he did.
Yeah. I just assumed he was sick and he was going to die soon.
So I figured, shot him.
Let nature take its course.
I hope there are no kids watching, but Rudolph is no more.
Rudolph is yummy. Or at least he will be. He sure smells yummy.
He does smell yummy. We're very excited about the after show where we can dine on reindeer and mead.
And mead. I haven't had mead in so long.
Now we got all a bunch of listeners going on Google to look up mead. Okay. Later on, we are going to review the 1970 Christmas album, The Season for Miracles, by none other than Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. You see, it's a double meaning. See, it's a Christmas album called The Season for Miracles, and they're the Miracles, so it's the season for miracles. Get it?
So if like a British metal band did it, it would be like The Season for Black Sabbath.
Yes, except that I don't know. I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Nothing.
Okay.
Please continue.
Rob, me and you have exchanged gifts already.
Yes, we have.
And like every year, I give Rob nice shiny termination papers.
I give Gary my usual pack of smokes.
And then with the termination papers, I always have to reluctantly ask them to give it back when the new year starts, because that damn monkey never can get out of customs. So, oh, and this is, if anybody's wondering, this is the one episode a year that we don't edit. So there's no music at the beginning. Of our Christmas, there wasn't last year, and there's none at the end.
In case you're wondering if you're on the show, you're listening to it, you are.
Yeah, because you could have said, hey, where was the music, right?
What kind of show is this?
Is this the gardening show? Is
this skimped? No, it's tradition.
Tradition, unlike the gardening show, which has no traditions other than gardening.
Not much of a tradition, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah, Rob. Rob gave me two tickets to the ballet, which I promptly threw in the garbage. And it's that time of year. You know,
the Nutcracker Suite.
I just love the Nutcracker Suite. But I think I'm thinking of the Nutcracker Suite in the porno edition. The actual one.
That one can be found on Scrambled Eggs Films.
And we hope that everyone who's listening to us around the world, except in Australia, where I don't think anybody listens to us. Seriously, the whole continent of Australia, and we're still waiting after 5 years for somebody to tune in. Screw you, Australia.
Are there listeners in Newfoundland?
Yeah, we only had two people listening. But I think that's gone a little bit better. Yeah, I hope your shrimp gets burned on the bob, you Rolf Harris lovers. Speaking of amazingly low ratings, Rob, what are your plans this Christmas and New Year's?
Ooh, most of my plans involve survival, endurance, perseverance.
Oh, you're climbing that mountain again this year.
As I do every year. I'll be a huffing and a puffing. And I'll get to the top of that mountain and I'll say, why the hell am I here? I live down there.
Why did I
and
waste
then I make the return journey?
A whole vacation to go up a mountain. So this Christmas episode, we have something special for you this year. We have something special every year. But this year we have no guests because...
Some of them got a bit unruly.
People were getting mad because we kept on booking dead people. And it was unbeknownst to us, but Mike just never quite understood that these people were gone. And so the estates of some of the people, like Foster Brooks, was saying, you know what, could you not book our father because he has passed away?
Yeah, no one explained to Mike that life eventually ends. He doesn't know.
Yeah, life will end for him shock. Sooner than he thinks. So what we're going to do today, and this is kind of interesting and fun. This is fun for make sure the kids are listening, because this is fun for the kids. We're going to give you some actual titles of Christmas albums released in the 1970s. Now, I told you, I think last episode, I don't know when we taped last. I don't know what's going on half the time. I said that there was actually only about 11 Christmas albums released, in the 70s, what I mean is that there's only like 11 Christmas albums that we would actually listen to and review. There are albums from other countries and other languages and stuff like that. And we're going to talk about those albums, not like popular albums, but whatever.
Not popular around these parts.
Not popular. And it's funny because after today's show, almost the rest of the country albums that we could review are almost all country. So... I hope you like your country at Christmas, because from now on, it's almost strictly country music. And I'm pretty serious about that. I think that's, except for the Osmond Christmas album, which we are not reviewing. We will review the part. I like the Partridge Family. We will review the Partridge Family Christmas album.
Yeah, yes.
But not the Osmonds. They just grate my nerves. Don't they, Rob? Don't they just get on your nerves?
They were just a bit too far into the shorter end of the spectrum.
In that spirit of Christmas that I've just exuberated, how I hate the Osmonds. Now, some of these albums we're going to be talking about are not English-speaking albums. It seems Finland really likes their Christmas albums. Who knew? Hey, Rob, who knew?
It's cold up there. There's nothing to do. You got to record Christmas albums.
You either listen to Christmas albums or,
Or you do things with reindeer.
Oh, and there was a lot of reissue albums. Like there was 100 and something albums on this list, but a lot of them were reissues from other years, like in the 60s and the 50s, and compilation albums, and those don't count for what we're listening to.
No.
So but this is an actual list. I'm not making this up. This is an actual list I found of Christmas albums we can't review on this show because we either don't want to, or because they are too weird or painful to listen. Because they are too weird or painful to listen. Or for all of the above reasons I said, the one album, before we start, there is an album there that I would like to review. Foster Brooks again. It's the Foster Brooks album, I'm Really Loaded This Christmas. That's the one I just made up. That's the only one I made up, okay?
Ooh. Now I find there's no album like that.
Hey, I thought of it. I had to get the joke out. And now they're all real albums. That would be a good album.
That would be great.
I'm really loaded this Christmas. Somebody drive me home.
that Foster Brooks.
He was always loaded. Holy smokes. He actually wasn't loaded, but his act was he was always loaded.
Yeah, so, he pretended.
Okay, we'll drop that. So the first album I can't even pronounce. The first album comes from the lovely country of Finland, like we were talking about. It's just depressive. It says, I'm sorry, but it says under what the album is about, the first word is depressive.
Depressive.
A depressing Christmas album. And that's also one of the tags is death and alcohol. It's an album. This is true. It's an album by Hulipuken Huhenusu. That's the title of the album. Hulipuken Huhenusu by M.A. Numinen. And I guess it's, it says it's Humpapa music. We can't do this. Then all the albums are going to be like this.
You're making this up.
I am not making this up. You can check on the internet, people, if you want.
I'm doing fine. Please go away. Leave me alone.
Give me a gun. Oh, my God. That's great. I'm sorry. That's true, though.
I think whoever that was, or whatever band that was playing for effect.
I love that guy. Cantito, of course, everybody knows the choral music of Cantata Domino by Makoto Enrique Bossi from 1976. I would take that it's acoustic choral music, since that's what it says. Doesn't say anything about being depressing, which is nice. Or suicidal. I think I pick this album up, this next one. It's a good album. It's called Ebenezer Electric.
Ebenezer Electric.
You should see the album cover. It's got like Ebenezer Scrooge.
Electric guitar.
It's playing like a keyboard. Like a Moog. And so this album's called Ebenezer Electric by Bruce Hawk and Praxiteles Pandel. It's children's electronic Christmas music. Now, if somebody told me, I just bought you an album of children's electronic Christmas music, I don't think you could find four worse words in the English language.
No, the correct response is, why?
Why?
And demand an answer. Don't let them whitewash you there.
here's a lovely album, a truck driving album. Everybody loves truck driving albums,
especially a truck driving Christmas album.
I'm on the road. It's The Trucker's Christmas by Red Simpson from 1973, and
that might be one to review.
That actually might be one to review, because also one of the hashtags on this for description of the album by this website is it's longing. The longing to be home. I'm swear to God, I'm not making any of this shit up.
Are you sure it's not yearning?
He's longing and a little bit yearning to get home. Yearning. That's why it's a trucker's Christmas from Red Simpson. We're going to review that next year. I want to review that album.
Okay. We got next year's album picked out.
I hope he's not talking to you the whole thing like, hey, buddy, I'm on my CB. Coming home.
Well, if he rhymes once in a while, I might give him a pass.
Well, and the album that we're doing today, it comes up next, Season for Miracles. That's strange. All these other strange albums.
Oh, you got a normal one.
Yeah, this got a normal one. I can't pronounce this next one.
But you're going to try. Give it that old
college try. I don't even
try.
Know what country this is from, because it does say that it's melodic pop rock Christmas music. It's by Zerwan Gitari.
Was there one guitar?
Yes. Called Zianjeden Vyruku. I think that's Finnish again.
Okay, I'm not going to
Zianjeden Vyruku. It almost sounds like, get off my shoe type of thing, doesn't it? Get off my shoe.
If pronounced like that, yeah.
Oh, man. We only have like 90. We could do this. Every year until we run out of albums.
For 10 years.
Oh, of course. There's the salsa. You remember the Salsa Orchestra? I think they had Tangerine as a single. But the Salsa Orchestra was a disco band or orchestra or whatever. And they released a Christmas album called Christmas Jollies in 1976. Christmas Jollies. Album cover. I would like to see the album cover for
Christmas Jollies.
Christmas Jollies.
I think it's dirty.
You think it's Journey?
Dirty, very dirty.
Oh, sorry. Dirty. Dirty Christmas album cover by the Salsa Orchestra. Feliz Pascuas.
Feliz Pascuas.
Feliz Pascuas by Ricardo Rey and Bobby Cruz. This is a bomba record, salsa bomba. I don't know what bomba is. Do you know what bomba is, Rob?
It was developed during the Second World War in
Jamaica. The bombs.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Lee, that kind of looks like a boring album, to be honest with you. Why did these albums pop up? Okay, this is an album by Thijs van Leer, Rogier van Otterloo, and Louis van Dijk. This is obviously Danish, I would think. Denmark, sure. From 1976. The album is, of course, Musica per la Notte di Natale. Well, that's Italian. And yet these guys are very clearly either Norwegian or Dutch. I'm looking into this because that pisses me off.
Yeah, they can't be doing Italian. Next, they'll be making Italian food, wearing Italian shoes.
This is a very highly rated album. This is by the way, I'm on Rater Music. That's the website I'm at. And this album actually gets out of like five. This actually gets like almost four stars, almost four of a rating. They rate everything on this website. So Musica, if you're looking for this album to give at Christmas, Musica per la Notte di Natale. See, I can do Italian very well. I'm not Italian, but give me Finnish and I'm done. It's like, wow, no way, man.
Cockroach.
Here's a good one. Here's the Moog Machine.
That's the Moog band. Machine.
Okay. The band is the Moog Machine.
That's a lousy title for a Christmas album.
This is from January 1970. The very first month of that's a bad time to release an album.
Yeah, a Christmas wait a second.
In January wait a of second.
Somebody at the record company screwed up.
That's what it says.
That would have explained the poor sales.
We're looking for next year's sales.
Well, when's the Eastern Orthodox Christmas? It's a few weeks later, isn't
it? Yeah, it could be for that. Yeah, it's a couple weeks after that, yeah. And it's so it's the Moog Machine and the title. I'm not making any of this up. I can't make this stuff up. Christmas Becomes Electric, which is a kind of a cool title. The Moog Machine, and it's called Moogsploitation Music.
Moogsploitation Music? Okay, someone's making these words up now. Someone's just being, nobody reads this stuff anyway.
Nobody goes to this website anyways.
Lunar Music or...
Okay, we could review this album, but we're not. The Roger Whittaker Christmas album from August 1978. Now, I told everybody, I think, by Roger, I can't listen to Roger Whittaker because I'm being traumatized from a youth when I was in school. So we can't review Roger Whittaker. I'm sorry. I get many, many country Christmas albums. So Lynn Anderson has a Christmas album from 1971. Nana Muscuri, the lovely Nana Muscuri. Who is
my
still
mom
around.
Has that one.
Christmas with Nana Muscuri.
Yeah.
I may be crazy, but I always thought she was kind of sexy. I did.
Glasses.
Yeah, I love the, let's take the glasses off.
Those cats like glasses. That.
And Greek. Yeah. Spicy. I bet you she's spicy. But anyways, that's kind of getting off Greek. The topic of Christmas. And on the reverse of that, we have the Christmas with Johnny Mathis, who you don't want to be alone with if you're a guy on Christmas.
Certainly not behind. Oh, no.
We can't go there.
No.
But let's just say, I'd like to spend Christmas with Nana Muscuri, but not with Johnny Mathis. No. Okay. How much time do we have?
Johnny Mathis 10 minutes. Comes over, we turn the lights off, pretend we're not alone.
Johnny's here. I got to move a little bit because my back hurts. But yeah. Okay, I'm not saying this album. I've had enough with albums I can't pronounce. These are legitimate albums. Oh, here's... No, I don't like that. It's an Andy Williams album. Franz Schubert and Andy Williams. I just love... Rob can't see this, but there's the cover of this album called Christmas Presents Franz Schubert and Andy Williams. It's Andy Williams' picture in a... Picture frame, and he's very contemplative, very like, ooh, ooh, it's Christmas, very serious time.
Yeah, you're supposed to be cheery at Christmas.
Yeah, that's what
Come
I was
on,
thinking.
Andy.
And it's like, hey, I'm thinking.
Christmas time. Again. What will happen this year?
I hope I don't kill anybody again.
I hope the season is filled with cheer.
Thanks, Andy. Always popular A Medieval Christmas by the Boston Camerata.
Okay.
I like, I don't know, it depends. I love choral music, like from church.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't really like the monk music. You know what I mean?
Oh, the Gregorian.
The Gregorian chants. It freaks me out. It kind of really does. But I love, like, the kids singing in choral.
They put too many of those Gregorian chants in horror movies.
Yeah, that's why I think it's creepy, isn't it?
You know something bad's going to happen in a horror movie, and you hear Gregorian
chants.
That's
a good point. They do. Especially, like, religious movies.
Nothing good ever happens.
No, nothing good ever happens. No. Of course, next one on the list, I talked about the Osmond Christmas album. We will not be, because of my, I guess, prejudice against the Osmonds, we will not be reviewing that album. We already did one Osmond album too many. And so that would be the first and last we did.
No more.
No, I don't. No, I can't. For my own sanity, Rob, I can't.
We've heard one. We've heard them all.
Okay. Kutatas un jolou. I think people are getting really tired of this. But I'll just do a couple more.
You're making this up.
Kutatas un jolou. From Irwin, yes. You think this is like Finnish or Denmark or whatever, but it's by Irwin Goodman.
He's trying to sound better than he is.
Irwin Goodman did an album called Kutatas un Jolu. Jolu.
Did you ask him why?
Wow, I'd like to. I hope he's still around. Some of these people have something to account for. You know what I mean?
They got some explaining to do.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm not going to talk about that. Oh, Merry Christmas from Stompin' Tom Connors. That has to be interesting. Stompin' Tom Connors in Canada is like a legend, but not anywhere else. And there are certain reasons for that, because his songs all sound the same. It's a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I hope that you like it, and I hope it's bump, 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 bump. And it's just basically that, with different words for every Stompin' Tom song.
Yeah, he had a niche market.
We got another, we'll use this as our last one. We got another Moogsploitation album
here. Really?
And it's even, this one's again, it's marked as Moogsploitation.
They love Christmas.
It's by Douglas Leedy, who I think I went to school with.
Douglas Leedy, yeah, he was the kid.
The Moog guy. The guy always hanging around the Moog synthesizer.
Yeah, he used to get beat up in the smoking room.
He was always playing the Moog. This is from 1971. He has, again, everyone that has like a synthesizer or a Moog on it has Electric Christmas on the title. Everyone has the word electric that I've done. This is a very merry Electric Christmas. Very strange that it wouldn't be like this is a Moog Christmas or this is a keyboard Christmas. It's always electric.
Yeah. You know, that makes sense because Christmas being a traditional thing, you didn't introduce the electric instruments. They were bad.
Yeah, they were evil. They were evil. They were once burned at the stake. I got to talk about this one. This is right at the end of the decade, 1979, disco album. This looks like a K-Tal album, I swear to God. Disco Noel by the group Mirror Image. And it's got a really bad cover. It's got a picture of a model. You know it's a model because she's all fake, right? She's smiling away, putting a decorating
star
the tree
on top of the old game.
Yep. And it looks really bad. This would be the album that even your sister wouldn't want to buy because she'd be embarrassed. And I think that's it. We'll leave that. We'll do more next year. And James Last, Vignockton, and James Last. That's the album. I gotta do this one. This is because this is for my mom, who will be 94 in January. She loved James Last. She always used to buy the cassettes, the 8-tracks.
Oh yeah.
When in the 70s, and she loved James Last. And the James Last album released in November 1970, Vignockton And James last. It has to mean Christmas. It has to mean Christmas, right? Vinochten? Vinochten? I would have to assume. Because why would it be like Vinochten and James last? It would have to be.
I'm like, maybe like a name like Cher.
Okay, that definitely ends it. Rob ruined everything. So I don't know if you like that. Let me know if you like that. We'll do it next year. Or if we were just pissing you off for 20 minutes. I don't know. We're going to have a kind of a quick show today, I think. Because
we're exhausted and we got two more shows to do this week.
Yeah, we got three shows to do. No, we don't. Actually, because we're taking a break. But when we get back. Good. But when we get back. We have like three shows in a week to do.
To record, not to broadcast.
Yeah. But not now.
Not now.
No.
No, sir.
When we get back from our vacation.
Let's not think about it.
No, let's not think about it. We got Christmas vacation coming up. You're going to climb a mountain. It's going to be fun.
What a great time we're going to have.
No, I actually thought that that would take up more time. That's why I'm saying that the thing might. And I don't have too much to say about this next album. So.
I got a bit to say.
So it's a Christmas album, so it's not a lot of complex things. This is what I'm trying to get at. It's not a complex thing to talk about. We got an album when we come back from Christmas vacation that is going to take a long time to talk about because it's very complex.
Blow your mind.
And it will blow your mind. This is the opposite of that. And not for bad reasons. It's just a Christmas album.
I mean, you've heard a bunch of these Christmas songs before. They're done differently with a different style.
Done very Motown.
Smokey and the Miracle style.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is the album Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, called The Season for Miracles, released in 1970, right at the beginning of the decade. And, you know, we did a Smokey Robinson album, and so you know pretty much about Smokey. Didn't talk too much about the Miracles. We were talking about the when Smokey had left the Miracles in around 1972 in his solo career. Miracles were actually, Smokey Robinson was the... This is what we talked about, was the first act signed to Motown. Very first act, very first song released was by Smokey and the Miracles. They released so many albums before Smokey left. So many albums before this Christmas album. They released 1, 2, 3, 4. And this is not greatest hits albums. This is all like either live or studio albums. 5, 6 years is a lot of albums. I thought there was more, actually, and I'm kind of... Oh, that's just with Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, because they started off recording as the Miracles. So you got 10 albums of Smokey and the Miracles, and then you got 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. You got 18 albums between 1961 and 1970. Wow.
That's the year more than two a year. That's rather impressive.
That's very impressive. That's very impressive. Of course, Motown released like 25-minute albums and stuff like that. Yeah,
live ones were quickie story.
Yeah, so Motown was not noted for... And you know what? It's not the quantity. It's the quality. And if you can make a great album from 27 minutes and putting more on there ruins it, then I'm all for short albums. I remember I heard this DJ once when I was just beginning... to listen to music seriously, about 1978 or something. And he was complaining about, these groups all have like 20 minutes aside and they waste it with 15 minutes. And at the time I was going, oh yeah, that's bullshit. Then as I learned about music, I was going, no, it's about the quantity or the quality of the music that you put on. And some albums are so perfect, like at 32 minutes or whatever, both sides, that you can't think of another song going on there. And then what ruined it all was the CDs. The CDs that they had 70 minutes at the beginning and they felt that they had to use up 65 minutes of it. And that was the beginning of the decline of the album as an art form, was the CD. Not the sound of it, but the
format.
Putting too much on there. Just putting everything on there because you could. That's... No.
Yeah, filler is called filler because it's filler.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody was putting everything on there. And blah. People have gone back, though. Now that albums have become popular again, more popular than the CD, people are making 40-minute albums tops now, which is good. That's the way it always should be, unless you've got an intent to make a double
unless
album.
Unless you're doing like Pink Floyd, The Wall or something like
exactly.
that.
Or the White Album or something. And who can make a White Album? So basically, yeah, this is their 10th album. They only lasted the Miracles with Smokey Robinson for another couple of albums. In fact, only two more studio albums. And then he left, and the Miracles continued on and were still very successful without Smokey. But Smokey, he's a legend. And so that brings us to this album. I got a comment, because it's a big thing to me. Not to too many houses, but I hate this cover. It's just a terrible one of those covers that again, you would buy for your sister. And you would, even if it was for yourself at Christmas, you would still say when you went up there, I'm buying this for my sister at Christmas. Because it's just one of those, especially in 1970 when there were so many divisions and you were supposed to buy cool music. And then they have a picture of everybody around the tree. And it's like, that's not counterculture.
We're forgetting the counterculture for one day. It's just going to be cheery.
I mean, it's still a sappy cover to me 50 years later, you know, 50 plus years later. I just don't like covers like that. It looks like a cheap Polaroid.
I saw the card. It looks stock to me, and then I didn't think about it again.
Yeah. I tried not to, but those things are important to me for some reason, because you're presenting the music, and it does present the music good, because it's a Christmas album, and you're showing the Miracles and their wives together. There's just a lot of good, there is a lot of good Christmas albums with good covers on it. There are people who do actually have good Christmas covers, but you got to want to. I mean, you got to make a little effort, and... I don't know. But then Motown has always been family oriented. It has always been top 40 oriented. It was only like with Marvin Gaye and What's Going On that they kind of turned into a serious album art type of thing. So let's not be too harsh on them, or I shouldn't, but...
On that album cover.
No, I shouldn't, because it's a Christmas album. If it was a normal album, then I'd be just all over like, oh my God.
The hell were they thinking?
What
kind of drugs was he on? Christmas drugs?
I'm not buying this. Oh, you know who's going to buy it? That guy on Christmas drugs. now I lost my thing. Yeah, you know, I like this album. No big wigs about it. It's not fantastic. It's not bad. It's not great. It's just good. I would like to talk about a couple of songs here, but I kind of got rid of it.
I kind of liked it. I found it was the Christmas music, but it had a bit more of a beat to it.
Got a good beat to it.
Christmas with a groove.
I don't mean to laugh at that, but it sounded like an American Bandstand thing. But actually, that was one of the things I was going to say. It has a groove to it that a lot of Christmas music does not.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that really differentiates it.
Sorry about that. What else were you going to say about that, Rob?
I like the Miracles on this one. The band was... the vocals were good, but the band really made this album, yeah. I thought.
Very, some very good playing. Very un-Motown, like it sounds. It sounds right in your face. Motown has this kind of sound sometimes, like it's baffles all over the place. You know what I mean, Rob? A boxy kind of sound to their records, like, you know... I don't know, it's the Supremes kind of thing. And this has a very 1970 sound to it. Instead of a 1965 sound to it, it has a very up-to-date 1970 sound to it. And I like that. It was very good. I like the beginning with Deck the Halls. They do a variation of Deck the Halls, which I really like. Instead of being like Deck the Halls, it was like, I can't do it now because I can't remember. But they did a variation on the melody, which I really liked.
There was one part in there, I was trying to find out what it was, and I realized it was a harmonic, it was a harp, and it was making it sound like my computer was being unplugged.
Damn you. Damn you, computer.
A time ago, as I get up and I would check, and I didn't touch the thing. Why is it doing that?
You damn computer. No, my thing just did it. That's a matter of fact, because I moved.
The second one, the choral vocals, I really liked.
Which one?
That second song, I didn't write down the titles.
Oh, actually, what I wanted to say, that's not one of my favorite Christmas songs, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
But they do it in a very jazz, which I liked. I still don't like the song, but I thought it was very inventive that it got "Rest Your Merry Gentlemen." And it was very jazzy and it had a jazz drumming on it. And I thought it was very inventive. There are some, you can tell that they're hip, you know, it's like Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, right? You can tell that in some of the songs, they're extremely hip. It may not be the right song for them, but they're trying to make it hip. And you like that.
Yes. It's they're definitely putting the effort
into it. Without
use
of a better word that I can think of at the moment, it's groovy. It is. Like, some of the songs are groovy, and some of the songs aren't, but they kind of make it as groovy as they can.
Yes. Because some of them were digit, you have to work real hard to put a groove to a Christmas song.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Yeah. I really liked Stevie Wonder's song, I Can Tell When Christmas Is Near. In fact, maybe my favorite song on the album. It's a very catchy Christmas song. There's also another, actually there's three songs. There's another song written by Stevie Wonder, which is good, called It's Christmas Time. Not as good as the song I Can Tell When Christmas Is Near. And there's a song that they did, which is just a powerhouse song at the end of the album, The Day That Love Began, which is first on a Stevie Wonder Christmas album in 1967. And I really like that. This is the one song that Smokey didn't sing. And of course, Smokey has one of the greatest voices ever. But it's nice to hear this difference of hearing another miracle sing this song in a different voice, like a really strong baritone voice. And it was really cool, the Day That Love Began. But there are some songs that that unfortunately just don't work at all. I found that I was really disappointed in a disaster of Away in a Manger, along with the Coventry Carol put together, and it just was a disaster. It didn't go together as a medley, and it was like, wow, that was, and it's only 2 minutes and 23 seconds long, but it's still painful because it's like, wow, why did you, that was not a good decision.
What's the third song on the album?
Well, that was a Stevie Wonder song, I Can Tell When Christmas Is Near.
Okay.
And then there's the Smokey Robinson song that he wrote, I Believe in Christmas Eve, which is also a good song. I like the originals on here. I like a really very smart originals, very catchy. Christmas song, you know, Merry Christmas to You. I've heard 1,000 times and I kind of found that weak. Yeah, and I found, other than The Day That Love Began, there's a couple of songs at the end which didn't do anything for me. Peace on Earth, Goodwill Toward Men was just very bland. And then it ended with an adoption song, A Child Is Waiting, which I thought was, to be honest, terrible.
Yes.
I thought it did, not only did it not, I feel, not belong on the album, but the song itself was so sentimental and syrupy that I was almost like, you know, diabetic there for a second. It was really offensive to me. But still, it's not a bad album. I found that the album was good, but it's probably the lesser of all the albums we have reviewed in this 5 years. For me, definitely ranks as the fifth album of the five albums we have reviewed for the Christmas. Although, like Rob said, a couple of arrangements are really good. Very, very groovy. They really are. I can't think of any other word because they really are.
They have a groove to them. The bass and the drums kick in and just the Christmas has a jump to it.
Except for the ending with the last couple of songs. This is not exactly. And then you talk about you know what? It's funny because now I look at it. I hate Go Tell on the Mountain as a song, so that didn't do too much for me. And I thought Away in a Manger and Coventry Carol was an absolute disaster. So actually, almost the whole second side didn't work. But it wasn't offensive, if you know what I mean. It wasn't like I don't want to put that side on.
I was offended.
Of what?
The last three songs. What's the 10th song? I should have wrote these down.
The third last song was Peace on Earth, Goodwill Toward Men.
Yeah.
I hated that.
When that got into the breakdown, they started going about war, pollution, racism. Yeah. That was a failure for the album right there for me. A Christmas album, you buy it, you want to feel good while you're listening to it. And now come the 10th song, I'm reminded what horrible, shitty people we are. that just lost it for me.
Especially since you haven't talked about it for the whole album.
Yeah, I mean, you throw it in right at the very end there. It's just kind of, okay, here's some social conscious. The 12th song, I felt guilty because I should be adopting a child.
I know. It was.
I can't.
It was so wrong. And then you have a speech at the beginning by Smokey Robinson.
Yes.
And to make you even feel worse. And then the song is terrible. And all those things that Rob said, and then it makes you feel bad. And
it's yes.
Like, I think the thing I felt after this album was done was, wow, now I'm kind of bummed. I kind of like the album. Like, the album is
the
good.
The first 9 songs, I had a really good time with. They were pretty good. They range from good to really good. But as soon as it got into that, it just caught my ear and it took me right out of the mood.
Why couldn't they have included like a song like Smokey's Song, I Believe in Christmas Eve, or the great Stevie Wonder song, I Can Tell When Christmas Is Near, which was so catchy. Like, that's the direction it's going in. And then all of a sudden, it's talking about social injustice.
I understand. Okay. His heart's in the right place, but his music's in the wrong place.
Yeah. It could have gone on Peace on Earth, especially, could have gone on another album. It could have gone on any album, because it really wasn't. You could have Peace on Earth and not mean it for Christmas. This is not really. You can use it for a Christmas album, but it would fit perfectly on any album that you're making a statement on or a regular album.
Yeah, one where you're not putting it on and just leaving it on and, okay, I'm going to feel good now.
And then a child is waiting, which again, about adoption, and it's like, oh, you know, like. Now I feel shitty because I'm not doing enough. And it was a downer of an ending. You're right. The last 3 songs were like... I can stand with the arrangement, like Go Tell It on the Mountain. Not one of my favorite songs, but I like the groovy arrangement. And even Away in a Manger, it's not offensive to me. So I can listen to it and I say, well, it's terrible as far as they put 2 songs that don't belong together, but it's not offensive as far as it gets me mad. It's kind of, oh, it's Christmas music and it's good. But the ending really was offensive.
It took me out of the mood.
Yeah.
This is about, from my opinion, 3/4 of a really good Christmas album.
Yes, I agree.
And then the last quarter makes the album fail as a Christmas album for me.
Yeah.
But it's too bad. Because,
especially when you go, well, it is
too bad.
There's
some good playing and there is some good stuff.
And like I said, it sounds really good. Like,
yes.
The sound is really bright. It's really up to date for 1970. It makes you feel good because the playing is good and it's just up to date for 1970. Unlike a lot of Motown records, they were for 1966, 67, they sounded good, but you know, the Miracles were always a little bit ahead of time and they were finally getting the Motown sound to be a lot more less of a Phil Spector kind of wall of sound and more
cleaner.
And you could really tell. You can really tell with this album. And it's a shame because there's some good originals on here. Nothing is really, there was 1 or 2 things that, like I said, the only thing that was really embarrassing was Away in a Manger. But other than that, all the cover songs were, you know, they were kind of neat, you know, and they weren't offensive. They didn't say, oh, geez, not this again.
No, they did the job of taking me into Christmas. And
they did for 9 songs.
Yep.
Like I said, it's not a terrible album. This, as far as I'm concerned, it's not a terrible album. It's not a great album. It's just a good album that you may not even play every year. You may play once every 3 or 4 years at Christmas time, because there are many, many good Christmas albums. We have reviewed 4 really good Christmas albums. If you want to listen, to those shows, the 4 Christmas albums we reviewed in the last 4 years. Are really exemplary Christmas albums, not just for the 70s, but the best Christmas albums of all
time.
They're
done by artists who were really good at the time they did them.
Yes. And we talked about that too. We talked about the artists that did them were in the pocket. They were like really, it was a good time to do a Christmas album because it was all the artists could do no wrong at that time. They were really in the groove. This is just okay. This is actually how I thought everyone would be that we reviewed. And I was surprised that every year we couldn't find anything bad to say about the Christmas albums because they were so good.
Maybe we hit the four good ones. And now it's downhill from here.
Now it's all country albums. And I had to throw this in before we started the country albums, right? So I was hoping that, you know, everybody loves Smokey Robinson. It was just good. It was just good. And that was, and to be honest with you, that's what I expected everyone that we reviewed to be, was just good. So this is, to me, average. This is what I thought of Christmas albums. So there's nothing really terrible about it. Except for, you know, what we said about the last three songs. But as a Christmas album overall, it's what I would expect. And it's what I would expect from a cover that I saw with everybody sitting around a Christmas tree. It's for nine songs, it's very jolly Christmas. And I give it 3 stars. I gave the other ones much higher ratings, but some of the Carpenters album, which we reviewed, was even arty. Yeah. It was. It seeped into every song.
The songs and blended into one another.
It was so moving. Thought out. It was. It was like listening to a Frank Zappa record. I say this not as a joke, because Richard Carpenter is a big Frank Zappa fan, but the songs never ended. They seeped into each other like a Frank Zappa record, and it was almost like a concept Christmas record. I thought it was brilliant. I think it's the greatest Christmas album I've ever heard by far, and I was like stunned when we reviewed it.
Yeah.
And then the other three were no bad chicks.
Jackson 5, and I like the
Jackson
Elvis
5, and the Elvis was just amazing. We reviewed 4 immensely entertaining albums. This is what I expected. So I'm not disappointed. I'm just going, yeah, okay. It's kind of average. It's good. That's it.
I liked it. It did the job of being a good Christmas album for 3/4 of it. But because it took me out of the mood, very deliberately so, at the end, it fails as a Christmas album for me. I gave it 2.5.
Boy, did A Child Is Waiting really piss me off.
I was going to give it a 2. But the first 9 songs, I find the playing and the singing and the production good enough that...
From what you said, it sounds like a 2.5.
It fails as a Christmas album.
It fails as a Christmas album.
Because I leave not feeling good.
And the songs aren't good. They're like Peace on Earth, it's not a good song. Anyways, no matter, this is what I'm also saying, is that not only are the songs improper for this album, but they're not good songs. Like, even if Peace on Earth was on a different Miracles album, I'd say, oh, that's a pretty crappy, that's a very mediocre song at best. And Child Is Waiting to me was such sentimental garbage. I really hated it. So, and then to stick them on at the end of the record when that's the impression you leave, it does leave an impression.
An impression.
Yeah. It leaves an impression of feeling not too good.
So, my take on this one is, if you get this one, just listen to the first 9 songs. It's really good. Well, it's good.
If you want to listen to the 12 songs, listen to them once, just to know how the album is. And then if you want to feel good at Christmas, like, listen to the first 9, because, yeah, listen to Deck the Halls, and listen to God Rest Ye Gentlemen with the great jazz arrangement to it. There's some very good stuff on here. It's just that it's a shame that actually this would have been a good 10 song album, because they made it 40 minutes, and usually, well, it's 37 minutes. Usually a Motown album is like 32 minutes, something 30 minutes. They could have cut those last couple songs out, and it would have been a much better album, I think.
Yeah, I don't know why the decision to attempt social consciousness during Christmas. I mean,
it's black people, and I'm not being stereotypical, but it's 1970. And there's the black power and there's a black uprising. If you put it in that context, you understand why they did it. I don't agree with it. You don't agree with it. But it makes a heck of a lot more sense in 1970 than
there
now.
There is a way to do this, but you separate it. When you're doing a Christmas album, that's not the place for it. I mean, the Kinks did Father Christmas. Perfect example of... a Christmas song that points out some of the negative things at Christmas.
And didn't even put it on an album. They just released it as a single.
Just as a single, yeah. So it didn't muck up something else that was really
good.
Which
a lot of people do. You got Greg Lake.
When he did Father Christmas.
I Believe in Father Christmas. He just originally, because it's no place for it on any other album. So he released it as a single. Eventually, ELP did put it on their Works Volume 2, but it was originally just a single. And Elton John did the same thing with Step Into Christmas, just as a single. I totally agree. I feel that this is the opposite. This is where you put a non-Christmas song on a Christmas album when you should have released it on something else.
Yeah, social commentary can go along with Christmas, just not on my Christmas album.
No, we totally agree on that. We kind of totally agree on the album. It's a good but unspectacular album, which is not bad for a Christmas album. Because most of the time, you're rehashing old songs anyways. Yep. So to rehash some of the songs with some new arrangements and...
And a new groove.
Especially when we've been on this earth for quite a while, we've heard
a lot of versions
of Christmas songs. You know, when you're 18, you haven't heard many, right? But when you're like our age, we've heard a lot of versions, and you still hear inventive versions of songs that you've heard many versions of, like God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, and you go, wow, that's pretty smart. Like, seriously. And like, what was the first song again? Sorry. Deck the Halls.
Deck the Halls, yeah.
Deck the Halls with that different melody. Like, that would have been the whole first side, holy smokes. Then you got the Stevie Wonder song and the Smokey Robinson song that he wrote. And you're going like, wow, it's just the side two, just kind of, the last three songs, but just side two in general. It just seemed like there's, I guess there's nothing more we can say about it. It was just.
Not as strong.
It's too bad because when you hear such a good side of music, you're going like, oh, this is going to be good.
Could have been a right proper Christmas album.
Yeah. So we're agreed on this one, just like we have been for every other Christmas album that we reviewed. This one was actually our first kind of negative one. We didn't have too much negative to say about the other four albums. But this one is more of a, you better listen to it before you buy it or before you, if you have other Christmas albums that you like, I would suggest listening to that.
Maybe listen to them, yeah.
Because there are so many, you know, there have been so many since the rock and roll age has started that if you miss this one, you're not missing too much. It's good, but there's so many. So we haven't even talked about like the great Christmas albums too, like Elvis's Christmas album from 57, which is again, and the Beach Boys' Christmas album, which is right up there with the Carpenters, is the best Christmas album ever. That album is just monster. There are a lot of good rock and roll Christmas albums. This is just average. And on that kind of sour note, it's not sour. We're just saying it's good, not great. It's not like we blasted it as far as being a bad album. That's all. You know, not everything that we can review can be bad or great. Sometimes it's just okay.
And it's had its good parts and it's had its bad parts.
Yep. And that's our show. It's our Christmas show. It's one of our, we haven't had, this is about the most laid back Christmas show we've had since we did the pandemic show, which was kind of a bummer. Because everybody was inside, man. And we were one of the few people that went out to actually do something. We did our shows. And, but this, this was nice. I don't think we'll have big extravaganzas like we had before, but...
maybe one, 5 years from now.
Yes. We already got an extravaganza coming. We got our 200th show next year.
Mm-hmm.
What's
this one? This is 195.
This is 195.
This is 195.
It should be probably first week in February. And Rob said he'll be drunk for the show, so we're excited about that.
Oh, yeah, it's a drinking show.
Yeah.
So whenever we do a centennial show,
now, I can't drink, so I won't be drinking, but Rob will be very intoxicated and might even be belligerent.
I'll be drinking for me, for Gary, and for a bunch of other people.
And we'll have a surprise guest. I invited Eric Clapton's chauffeur. Hopefully he shows up. And many other guests for our 200th show.
I'm just disappointed that Foster Brooks Christmas album isn't real.
It was one of those jokes that actually was too good because it was like, yeah, where is that? Is it on your streaming service? No, I made it.
Great.
Oh, man.
Oh, you thought of a great idea.
Drive me home. So I know the party's over. I can't drive home. It's Christmas time.
I'm going to stay a little bit longer.
I always do a whole show like Foster Brooks. I like the song. You like this album? Yeah.
It's been so long since I've been actually drunk that I don't remember what it's like.
I'll have to actually get drunk.
Yeah, that's for our 200th show. Rob will be getting drunk. He probably won't be drunk, but he'll be getting drunk as we're doing the show. When I drive him home, I will be just be throwing him out in the street because that's how drunk he'll be.
I'll be taking a little trip down the Grizzly Trail.
So we won't be back, theoretically, for 3 weeks or so.
Three fun-filled weeks of us vacationing in wherever we vacation.
Yeah, well, you're going to climb that mountain. I might be going to Puerto Vallarta, as I do every year, and hanging out with the chicks. And or I could just be getting a haircut. Which I do every year.
Let's not talk
That's
about
my vacation
that.
Time. That's just like, wow, what am I going to do? I got 3 weeks. I think I'm going to get my hair cut. That's our show. We thank you, all of our listeners, for staying with us this last year, along with the last 4 years. But we'll get to that on not only our anniversary show, but when we come back, it will be our fifth year that we will be on.
That's right.
So it's January is our fifth anniversary. We hit the air.
The internet.
I'm thinking like it's a radio. We hit the internet on, I think I put our first show on January 13th or something like that. And I think that's when we're coming back. January 13th, 20-something. I think it's 2019, I think. I can't remember.
2054.
Whatever. And then right after that is our 200th episode. And that's thank the people that listen to us every week. We also thank the people that just listen to us occasionally. We thank anybody that wants to listen to us. We wish you all a Merry Christmas.
We find ourselves unable to thank the people who don't listen to us.
No, bastards. and some of our listeners are bastards, but we can't. This is not the time of the year to bring those people out and by name. But Rick,
no, it's Christmas.
But Rick in Cardiff, Wales, I don't like you. Merry Christmas to everybody. Hope you have a good holidays, and we will see you in the new year. We've got some really good albums at the start. Well, I tell you that we always do the 50 anniversary albums, so we'll be doing four albums from 1974, and they will be very interesting. So look for that when we come back in January, about January 12th or something like that. And there's no outro music. I have to like sing or something, okay? Because we don't, on our Christmas show, there's no editing.
No editing.
So we wish you a Merry Christmas. That's what we'll do. We wish Silver you a Merry bells. Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Goodbye, everybody.
Merry Christmas.